We tell Ryan, and all of us get here, surrounded and ready to help if necessary.
No, I don't want that. This is a Pilaten legacy, and if it's revealed only because of two blacks who are stopped by outsiders, and pale outsiders at that, then it'll divide the people when they really need to pull together. Half of them won't want to believe that either Chan or Elias are behind this, and if whites are involved...
Just me, then. That work?
They've accepted you pretty easily. Yeah. I figure you and me can give Marcos the backup he needs.
Okay, but should fill out his in anyway.
Yeah, that's fair. Let's do it.
As they made their way back to the vill, Mildred realized that Chan had obviously been her initial attacker. He was of a similar build to the armorer and had adopted JB's limp to aid his disguise. Both he and Elias had been running their own kinds of scam, hiding their true selves until revealed today, and then only to Mildred and Jack. Something that Marcos and Ryan shared was their complete integrity. She knew the one-eyed man would understand why she and Jack would have to do this alone.
You want a what, Mildred?
I want it to just be me and Jack. It can't be any other way.
But Mildred, it's going to be...
Are you saying we can't handle it? Because I don't even want to mention how many times I've saved your ass.
That's not the point. We always play the odds, Mildred. That's why we're still here and the people we've had to come up against aren't. 7 is better odds than 2, that's all.
Not always, Ryan. Sometimes all we've needed is 1. This time it's 2, and I've explained why.
The companions were grouped in their quarters. Mildred dragged them away from their work, supposedly at Sunita's request, in order to have this conference. They were all fully armed, having reclaimed their weapons from the armory that morning. That was why Jack had been carrying his Colt Python. The only exception was Ryan, who was incensed when Mildred and Jack revealed to him where his Sig Sauer had found a new home. The rearming was part of final preparations, as the armory was now crated and ready for transportation. The loading of it was the task from which they had been pulled by Mildred. The late afternoon shadows were long over the street where they were housed, and without any lamps, the inside of the adobe hut was dark. Jack and Dean were acting lookouts at the front and back, still keeping an ear on the proceedings.
Shit, Mildred. I don't like this, but... All right, I'll go along with this. But I sure as hell don't like it when you don't play the odds.
Maybe there's a way that you could stack them a little.
There is? How?
You're planning to stop Elias and Chan and then present it as a done deal to Sunita and Marcos, right?
Sure.
So why don't you let them see it going down? Take them with you.
But Christy, how the hell can I explain to Marcos about his brother? Sunita I could handle. She'll understand why Barris didn't tell her about the treasure and trusted me to do it for her at this time. But Marcos is too proud, too stubborn.
So don't tell him it's his brother who's involved. Just tell him about Elias and say you didn't get a look at the other man involved since he was masked.
You really think he'll go for that?
Think about how much he dislikes Elias.
I can understand why. Look how he had us conned. Marcus had Elias's number, but it's hard to prove it when you're that blunt and sourpussed and the other guy's Mr. Nice Guy all the time.
Mildred turned to the armorer and smiled. Of course JB would understand Marcos.
Yeah. Maybe if I play on that, I won't have to let on about Sean until he can see for himself.
Marcos good fighter. Not make hard for 2-on-2. Could be better bet.
Okay, let's do it.
Marcos looked puzzled when he entered Sunita's quarters to find Mildred and Jack waiting for him, along with the leader's daughter.
You sent word that there was an urgent matter to be settled. I failed to see...
There is, but as of yet I have no idea of its substance. That is what Mildred and Jack have to tell us.
I see you've sustained another injury. Why do I have a bad feeling about this?
Marcos pointed to the crease on Mildred's forehead. Although it had been dressed by Christy, even under a bandage it looked nasty.
Because it's not a pretty story.
Mildred went on to outline the attempt on her life, and how Jack had saved her at the side of the river. She mentioned Elias as one culprit, but claimed not to know the other.
There is one thing that is a mystery to me. Why they did not kill you when they had the chance, and why they took you to the river.
They were afraid of being seen, and they assumed I was half dead already, and they wanted to hide my corpse. As for why they took me down to the river... Sunita, there's something I have to tell you. Something that your father confided in me, and I need to tell you why he did.
and she began to tell her about the legend of the Whiteland's treasure and why the leader had entrusted her with the information. Sunita stayed silent and listened carefully, but Mildred could see that Marcos was almost bursting with anger and indignation that the leader should trust Mildred and her friends and not his own people. A view he expressed when Mildred had finished. Sunita waited for him to finish before she spoke.
Can you not see that my father was right? At such a time as this, when there is upheaval and the community has to pull together spiritually as well as physically, the gathering of the old treasure would be a distraction that would pull us apart. People like your brother would wish us not return our riches to the land from whence it came. And yet, right now, they have acquiesced to the need to journey on and are working together with the rest of us. To have this treasure taken from hiding and presented once we are already in the White Lands is the only way to proceed. Of course, I am hurt that my father chose one other than myself to impart this knowledge, but my feelings do not matter when set against the needs of the community that I must serve. If I can live with that, can't you?
You are right, of course, Sunita. The post I hold, and of which I am proud, dictates that the community must come first, and that is how it should be.
Let's hope that you still see it that way in a couple of hours.
Jack walked toward the door.
Doc Falls, maybe she'd go.
The woodlands along the river were in darkness by the time that Mildred, Jack, Sunita, and Marcos reached the riverbank. The night sky above was clear, the moon illuminating the woods enough for them to be able to find their way. Jack took the front, sure-footed and able to see in the gloom. He returned at intervals to report that the way ahead was clear. Although there were paths scored through the woods by the activities of the tree fellers, Mildred guided them through thicker patches, wanting to keep the party as hidden as possible. As the rest of the companions had regained their weapons just that day, so Mildred had claimed her Checkmate ZKR target pistol, which she held loosely, feeling the familiar grain of the butt against her palm. Jack had his Colt Python, and Marcos his H&K, which he held across his body, loose but firm in his grip. Sunita was the only one who concerned Mildred when it came to weapons. The leader's daughter carried a Glock, which she gripped tightly in her fist. She was clearly unfamiliar and ill at ease with blasters. Mildred figured that she'd have to keep an eye out for the soon-to-be leader of Pilatu. Otherwise, she could find herself buying the farm before her father. Jack appeared through the trees like a wraith.
Clear ahead. No sign yet.
Are you sure they'll be there tonight?
They've got no choice, sweetie. They know I'm still alive, and they know how much I know. Even if I didn't go to you and Marcos, then they'd figure that I'd get Ryan and the others to snatch the treasure tonight, before they had the opportunity to act. If they're going to get their hands on it, then they have to move tonight.
If only we knew who the other party was. Elias, I can understand, and his greed does not surprise me. I make no secret of the fact that I have neither liked nor trusted him. But I cannot think who else would sink so low, particularly if, as you say, this man is a separatist. They are motivated only by honor and a sense of their innate dignity. It does not make sense.
Sometimes things people do just don't, Marcos. So let's stop talking about it and get down to the bank. Try to take up a position where we can see them, okay?
That should be fine.
I am by your side.
Jack led them through the trees and down to the river. It looked so calm under the wan silver light of the crescent moon above. The ground on the bank in front of them, the place where she had earlier fought for her life before Jack's timely intervention, looked serene and undisturbed, as though it had never seen human intrusion.
Not here yet, and not many places hide. I take rocks, find crevice to hide in. You three stay together. Cover away from any paths. Elias not good woodsman, so take easiest path.
Can you be sure of that? What if they stumble on us from the rear?
Trust him, Marcos. If Jack figures that's how Elias will come, then that's how he'll come.
Besides, signs there of where I left earlier. Shoo, even Triple Stoop figure come back that way.
Okay, I take your point. But how are you going to get out to the rocks without risking them seeing you as they approach?
Two things. One, I find root there did not make water ripple. Two, I already checked. Elias and other not anywhere around yet.
Okay, Jack. You take up your position and we'll take up ours. Then I guess we'll just have to wait for however long it takes.
The albino set off without another word, melting into the shadows of the woods. The remaining three moved toward their position of cover in order to take up observation. Marcos kept glancing toward the river, but couldn't see or hear a sign of Jack.
Remarkable. I would never have thought...
Jack's the best. Look, if Jack says he's there, then he's there, okay?
Okay.
Leaving the others, Jack skipped over the root systems that treacherously lined the floor of the woods and wrapped himself around the trunks of the trees until he was at the very edge, with only the bare stretch of ground between the woods and the river to traverse. To his left, there was a patch of shrub that would provide cover. Jack dropped to his belly and slid across, moving fast and crab-like to get to the shrub. In daylight, he could be spotted, but under the much dimmer moonlight, he was able to use the cover of shadows to remain unseen. From the shrub to the water was just a few feet. The real difficulty would be to gain the water without causing too much of a disturbance. At the same time, he had to make sure that his blaster stayed out of the water. Jack wrapped the cold python in a piece of plastic he had secreted in his pocket before they'd left, anticipating this. He then stowed the blaster in an inside pocket of his camo jacket. He'd also thought long and hard about how he would tackle the problem of the river. To the left, just downstream, was a small clump of wood, discarded branches and leaves overgrown with creeping vine. It would provide more shelter, especially in the gloom. He made the cover quickly. From here, he just had to slip down the bank into the low, sluggish current. Like a knife, he slid into the water, crouching into the mud of the riverbed until only his shoulders and head were above water. Then, taking a deep breath and sighting the rocks to give him direction, Jack slipped under the water. It took him only a few strokes to come to the base of the rocks. He found a crevice that came up out of the water and broke the surface in a narrow inlet that was deep in shadow. He gasped in two quick breaths before looking up to see where he had arrived. He was on the side of the rock cropping opposite to the cave entrance. It was narrow, but it was simple for him to climb up and around, keeping to the far side of the bank where he was certain Elias and Chan would come. Here he could move more freely and with speed. As he reached the point where he would, for a fraction of a second, be exposed before gaining cover of the cave entrance, he paused and looked deep into the wood. He could hear nothing that would indicate their approach. He could see the slightest movement of the branches around the position where Mildred, Marcos, and Sunita were stationed. He could hear the occasional rasp of breath from one of them in amongst the sounds of the night. But he could hear nothing to indicate approach. Chan and Elias weren't hunters, and even with their best efforts, he would be able to hear them from some way off. He would have a weight ahead of him, but it meant that he could move with ease right now. Jack slipped around the edge of the rocks and melted into the mouth of the cave. Once in the darkness, and with a good view of the area along the riverbank, he took the cold python from his inner pocket, unwrapped it, before restoring the plastic to another pocket, and checked the blaster. It was as dry as a bleached bone. From habit, he checked that the blaster was fully armed. Satisfied, he holstered it, then hunkered down to wait, eyes trained on the bank, making no sound but his faint, shallow breathing.